States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Galen here. Grandal.
Here.
Charity. Iball.
Here.
Huck.
Here.
Iball.
Here.
Aye.
Here.
All right, we have a quorum. We have a motion to approve the agenda.
I make it.
Motion by Chris.
Second.
Second by Kayla. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Consider motion for consent agenda. Minutes of the regular meeting, September 16, 2020. Minutes of the special meeting, September 16, 2020. Minutes of special meeting, September 28, 2020. General fund vouchers and financial reports.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting, September 16, 2020. Minutes of the special meeting, September 16, 2020. Minutes of the special meeting, September 28, 2020. And check numbers. No, one about general fund voucher and financial report. Check numbers 99101, 99294. For $356,721.55. Wire transfers of 20200000, 20200000042, $922,906.34 for a total of $1,279,627.09. Invoice.
Read that one more time. Into the record.
$1,000,000 for a total of $1,279,689.
Perfect.
With choice of 99253, 99264, 99266, and 99267.
All right. Motion by Amy. Do we have a second?
Second.
Chris?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. Second by Chris. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Public input. Correspondence recognition.
I'd like to thank New Life Church for its generous sharing of a great meal again with our teachers prior to parent teacher conferences on October 7th. Thank you also to Alex Graves, Nikki Marlott, and any staff who helped with planning and carrying out all the homecoming activities. Finally, thank you to Stephen Martin and JCI, which is Ansel, for their donation of fire extinguishers to the families of every student in the district.
Reports, committee reports, personnel negotiation.
Personnel negotiations that was made tonight, and we will be bringing forward a recommendation to hire an elementary paraprofessional at that time.
All right. Building and grounds, transportation, and technology. Building and grounds, transportation, and technology tonight. We covered the administrative wanted to get prepared for bus contracts, so we gave them approval to move forward with that. Administrative reports. Mr. Manns.
We were notified recently that federal food service program allowing all students to eat free would be continued throughout the school year, so that was good news. So far, the district has been in session for almost 9 weeks. We've been able to provide in-person instruction for 7 of those weeks. This has been challenging, not because of positive cases of COVID-19 and not because of COVID-19 transmission here at school. Rather, it has been because of staff having to quarantine due to close contact with positive cases, mostly outside of school or while waiting for COVID test results. The staff have stepped up and filled in where necessary, and we are making the best of a very difficult set of circumstances. Due to the pandemic, the district held virtual parent-teacher conferences on October 7th and the 14th. On October 14th, we held in-service during which time the staff collaborated on facing the challenges in providing education, given our current set of circumstances related to dealing with COVID-19. And lastly, first quarter will come to an end this Friday, October 30th.
Mr. Bowman.
I only have 2. Mr. Manns took 1.
as usual.
Just a little different spin on parent-teacher conferences. The only thing I can add here. Just the fact that we ran them much differently at the high school this year, obviously, than in past years. Colleen Zeidler gave us some guidance on how to allow parents to schedule on Skyward for parent-teacher conferences, and we did that. And then parents could either talk on the phone, a phone conference with their child and the teacher, or they could do teleconferencing. The number of conferences we had this year was down a little bit from past years. I don't know if it was the new format. I do know that teachers have been in much communication with parents this year because of the virtual format for a lot of our students. So, you know, they're on a day-to-day conversation with a lot of the parents already. But I did receive a couple of emails, actually, two from parents who were actually pretty happy with the format, saying, actually, Chris, I think I had one from you.
Too. One for me, yeah. It was an awesome way to do a conference. It was, you know, no
it's
problem.
It's just that not having to wait in line with teachers, having the schedule all set, they could just go from the next, and it was just a more, obviously a little easier because you didn't have to leave your home.
Yeah.
And it was just a little more laid back. And so we did have some compliments, but our numbers were a little down, but that's understandable. And then the last one I have is just homecoming. Homecoming week was more limited this year, but overall, our students showed good school spirit. Many things have been taken away from our students during the last 7 months. So Mrs. Graves, Miss Marlock, what she could do, she was quarantined for most of the week, and the student council worked very hard to try to make homecoming week as enjoyable as possible. Though without a bonfire and a homecoming dance, our students still enjoyed numerous activities such as hall decorating, dress-up days, a pep rally, and actually a new idea that Mrs. Graves found, which was a drive-through parade. The senior class was victorious in the point competition this year, showing great school spirit, and the week was capped off by a great team victory against Tomahawk. I would once again like to thank Mrs. Graves and the student council for the planning and the effort they put into making what could have been a kind of a difficult week a good success. It turned out, I think the school spirit was there. It's been a somber year so far at the school, and it was nice to see the kids excited here for a week. It was good to see. They got to wear hats, and I cringe and grit my teeth every time, but they enjoyed the week, so it was nice.
Thank you, Mr. Paul. Mrs. Robinson.
I too will skip over parent-teacher conferences, but we were down in numbers. We also held them virtually. Parents could pick either phone or like a Google Meet video conference, and elementary teachers overall averaged about 70% of their students, they talked with their parents during those two conference days. Middle school teachers, less conferences, and the number varied greatly by teacher, but we were only slightly below our average number of conferences from past years. Cribbets Area Women's Club is again giving books to Cribbets students due to no giveaway in spring, and them securing a grant to purchase books this year despite not holding fundraisers. They are giving two books to all students who are K through 5th grade and one book for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students. We will hold a small outdoor Veterans Day ceremony on November 11th at 2:15. We are coordinating with the local VFW to invite veterans to the short service that will take place on the sidewalk and grass between the elementary and middle school parking lot and the three-story part of the building. Chairs for veterans will be placed 6 feet or more apart, and only middle school choir and band students performing will be in attendance. While we really enjoy hosting a large all-school assembly for Veterans Day, this year we cannot do so. But we wanted to do something. And then finally, Cribbets Elementary and Middle School received a generous donation of 11 winter jackets for students in need. We'd like to thank Ron Lentz for that donation.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Mr. White.
Several football field stadium lights failed recently, and a contractor with a bucket truck that is capable of reaching the 60-foot high lights had to be called in. Of the five lights that were out, two were simple bulb replacements. The other three likely have bad ballast. A quick internet search found ballast that range in price anywhere from $250 to $500. It's only a matter of time before others start failing, and therefore we need to start planning for that inevitability. A request for proposals has been sent out to several HVAC design firms for engineering and design of the high school gym air conditioning project. The RFP is for design and engineering only. The actual installation will eventually be let out. The RFP requirements include the creation of specs and bid documents to use once that project is released. And lastly, as part of our five-year maintenance plan, we are continuing to retrofit the outdated and failing Douglas lighting control panels at the high school. Of the 14 panels that need to be retrofitted, two were completed last year, and the management server and software has been installed. Since the retrofits only involve the low voltage side of the controls, we are able to do this work in-house as time allows. That's all.
All right. Mr. White, Mr. Dorsher.
Today, our fall sports at the middle school and high school level are beginning to wind down. Cross country finished their season this past Saturday at the WIA Division III sectional meet hosted by Manitowoc Lutheran. Turns advanced three runners out of the subsectional at Lena the Tuesday before, as Grace Allard, Olivia Kane, and Sam Lewin compete for a chance to go to the state meet. Sam Lewin finished one place out of qualifying for this weekend's state meet. At least that's what I heard, right, Amy? Three spots? Okay. Sorry. The cross-country team was able to complete their season to its entirety, competing in 10 different races throughout the fall. Volleyball finishes their season tomorrow night as our JV2 and JV1 teams play the host to Crandon. The varsity fell to Obino in the regional semifinal round hosted at Crivitz this past Thursday. The volleyball team was able to complete the majority of their schedule this fall season. Football currently sits with a 3-1 record. In total, the football team was able to play four games thus far. They defeated Northern Pines to open up the season, suffered a non-conference setback to Colby and Abbotsford, and picked up another conference win over Tomahawk this past Friday night. The team is now in a two-week quarantine period and despite missing the last 2 weeks of the season coming up, are still playoff eligible as we await the WIA playoff qualifying field to determine who our next opponent will be on what I'm sure will be a very warm November 13th. Junior high boys basketball is underway, starting practice this past Wednesday with their first game tomorrow night hosting Coleman. Junior high football was able to play four games this season, while the junior high 7th and 8th grade volleyball teams were able to complete their season last week Tuesday at Peshawar.
Thank you, Mr. Dorsher. Mrs. Hunt.
We met on October 12th.
Tax levy. Before Sarah maybe could fill in some blanks here, just some basics on it. The annual property valuations are completed, and the third Friday student count and its impact on school district revenue limit is set. As a result, the school district's tax levy can be set. The 2020-2021 tax levy is in the amount of $6,396,488. This is a $334,844 reduction from previous year. That's primarily due to an infusion of other general state aid from general state revenues. As opposed to it being on our taxpayers, it's on all the taxpayers of the state. We had an infusion of that aid for various reasons, an increase in some students and so forth, and other factors which result in the general state aid increasing, thereby causing our burden on our taxpayers to be slightly less than easier, which is a good thing. Anything to fill in there, sir?
No, that's all good to me.
Sarah Scott.
The budget revision with everything set on the tax, you know, levy and all that, we anticipate revenues of $11,503,749. That is for everything, the general fund and all the other funds. Expenditures, we're anticipating $11,627,738, which will be a negative impact to the fund balance of $123,989. I have on there items that have been approved for the buildings and grounds 5-year plan, and then also the curriculums that were approved to come out of the fund balance this year, listed out there so that you can see why some of that $123,000, why there's a negative impact. That $123,000 does not include if that part-time paraprofessional is approved, so we're looking at about another $9,000-$10,000 on that also that would come out of that. But that's not part of this budget revision. It will be for spring.
As I mentioned also in the finance committee meeting, an additional cost that really couldn't be factored into this is the additional cost of substitute teachers this year as a result of people having to quarantine and so forth due to COVID. So that will be, you know, in the thousands of dollars, if not tens of thousands of dollars of additional costs coming out of the fund balance to support the additional number of substitutes throughout the year for that, because it's been significant.
Do we have an estimate of our fund balance expenditure per se, or
what we're going to come out of it?
Yeah, that's right at the bottom of this page. $202,774 without the additional aid and without the additional sub cost.
Right, so I guess my question can be amended to, do we have a guesstimate of that and if our fund balance is stamped versus?
Yeah, you'd be probably in the neighborhood of another 10 or 11 for that part-time aid.
So $50,000 maybe?
Probably not that much. Due to those two factors. Now, you know, if there's other things that come up that are unforeseen, that could impact it.
I can understand.
Right. You would be made aware of those.
Our fund balance is still in a good, positive position.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
That long shot. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Is that it?
Unless there's any other questions.
Appointment of a delegate and alternate to the virtual WASB convention.
This year, that convention, as board members are aware, will be virtual for reasons associated with COVID. We need the board. It's the board's pleasure, basically, to choose someone to be a delegate and then an alternate to that virtual convention.
Our delegate in the past couple years has been Chris, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you want to continue with it?
I can do it, yeah. I was wondering if they'd have it, but it's going to be virtual. That should be interesting.
Anybody have an objection?
I don't know how they do it that virtual.
I think Chris did a great job.
I agree with you, Caleb.
Yeah. Oh.
Keep up the good work.
Oh, well, yeah, thank you.
Donald Driver speaking at the convention. I was going to say, Lyle's not here. Usually if you miss a meeting, that's what I would do that.
So
you can, right?
So we're going.
Do that, Tim, after
Chris.
That
we'll go with Chris is our...
Chris and Amy.
Chris and Amy. So, okay. All right. Part-time paraprofessional at the elementary school.
Mrs. Robinson's asking for the board to approve an additional part-time paraprofessional at the elementary school. Really, this position, as she'll talk about, is to deal with, you know, we've got so many people out at various times due to quarantine. This would be just for the remainder of this year type of position. And as a result, aides that are typically in the classroom are having to be pulled to cover duties and that sort of thing. So this would take some place of that. So. Go ahead.
Also, some of our other professional staff that aren't necessarily classroom teachers, myself, Joanne Spaulding,
had a new guidance counselor, Melissa Sanders, Amy Dyer, reading specialist, are ones that we teacher out with OSL. They're the ones that fill in there. They're also the ones who are doing a lot of the extra duties with covering lunches, recesses, things like that. So when I pull them to then cover a classroom, now I need to get that duty covered. They can't do that. So having this one extra person to pull some of those daily things off of our plates will help, and then, you know, make it easier for us to cover those teacher positions where we don't have subs. Some of the time for this person will also be cleaning and disinfecting highly touched areas, handrails, door handles throughout the day, garbages. Because they are eating in their classrooms, we have large garbage cans throughout the lower elementary and on the second floor by fifth and sixth grade. And then they're sitting, you know, almost overflowing for the rest of the day. So this person can go around, get those emptied so that all that's not just sitting out. We'll also help a little bit in the 4K classroom so that that teacher has some time not in front of students to do other tasks throughout the day. So.
Right. Part-time paraprofessional in high school.
This is not a new position, but it's a position that we have the opportunity to save some money on. The person that was here was a full-time CESA person. We were just notified this past Monday that they will not be returning after an FMLA leave. That person, because they were 7 hours CESA, had benefits through CESA. What we can do is make this a 3.5-hour district position, 3.5-hour CESA position, thereby some cost of benefits, and you're just replacing basically apples to apples in terms of time and cost. For that position, but you're in a sense creating a 3.5-hour district position out of a 7-hour position that was all CESA before. It'll be 3.5 and 3.5 now. So it's simply replacing a person that was here and just sort of reorganizing it to save some money.
And does CESA agree with that philosophy?
Yep.
Any other questions? Comments? Moving on, winter sports.
Our AD, Mr. Dorschner, would like the board to sort of set some parameters in terms of attendance at winter sporting events. Fan attendance.
I would like to ask if we could do 4 tickets instead of 2. And the reason I'm saying this is I begged and borrowed people all volleyball season. And I, you know, there when I went to a game, there were very few people there. And I could always find a date, you know. I'd call and say, is your husband going or is your wife going? And I'd go. But if people really aren't even going to use their tickets, you know, there it was not a crowded gym ever. You were there, Mike, right?
Yeah,
no. There was never
a social distancing was easy.
Huh?
Social distancing was easy.
Oh, yeah. You'd never have to worry. So it would just make it some easier. I know grandparents always come, you know, would like to come, even if I could come once in a while. But you could never be sure that you could. And the streaming wasn't the best.
Do we already have guidance from the WIAA?
Well, they call it winter, not guidelines, but winter considerations.
They've changed it.
They call it considerations now. So the only thing that they put in there for spectators is that follow county guidelines. That's it. So basically, in a nutshell, each school is going to decide what they're going to do regardless. I don't know what our conference is going to do. You know, we meet as ADs this coming week.
Do you have a recommendation, Mr. Dorschner?
Do I have a recommendation? You know,
what do you envision the conference?
The conference doing? I don't know. I really don't. Because they changed. There were schools that changed it mid-season.
Yeah.
I mean, would it be beneficial to wait until we have that conference?
He's got middle school.
I have middle school's already starting. So I need some guidance. You know, I think we have a big enough facility, and it's not like our numbers are through the roof player-wise. Where we could do 4.
Mr. Dorschner, my question, but this middle school came up, just dawned on me. Our middle school gymnasium is a much smaller facility than high school gymnasium.
It is, and I will try to, if our high school gym is available, move games to here. But I can't tomorrow night.
Is there a practice here?
We have volleyball tomorrow night.
Yeah. Okay, so but if the high school gym is open...
If the high school gym is open, I will transfer because our streaming stuff does work now.
Oh, it does? Good.
Just the app sometimes.
Yeah, I know that. The only reason I'm asking tonight is because Pat had said we had to do it at a board meeting. So I didn't want to leave everything that we had or say, well, wait till the season because then we don't have another board meeting.
Yeah, season starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if, for the time being, and the only between now and the next board meeting is just junior high boys basketball. That's the only thing we got going on, well, other than the volleyball.
But that's a fall sport.
But that's a fall sport.
And what's the...
And we well, I don't see us hosting a playoff game.
What's the athletes that would be at one of these interior events?
Well, I guess... You know what I need your guidance or approval to if we have to have our middle school events over there and we can't have it here, I would feel a little better if we would clear the gym between 7th and 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way more spectators could come in for that particular team to allow for social distancing.
Actually, 6th grade crew is pretty small.
8th grade, yeah. We have 6 8th graders and 10 7th graders.
So you're going to bring some 7th grade up to supplement the 8th grade team?
Yes.
I have no problem with clearing the gym between the games.
No, I think they pretty much did after volleyball when the JV was done.
The
parents and grandparents of those kids left.
The thing is, I do believe that it should be equity if one thing is four, all of
them. Yeah.
Right. I would feel much better if we had... across the board.
Did parents run into any issues with childcare?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, no.
Oh, no.
At two we did.
At two, yeah.
At four, no. Not that I'm aware of.
So I only have one more question. Like, if by chance we would host a football game here, you were at that football game from the ring.
Yes.
Would anybody be okay with adding, more students?
The only thing I caution with that is the WIA for volleyball, for example, set a max of four. Well, they said four or five per player. I don't know why they just say five. It could be five. But they said four or five depending on your size of your facility.
Yeah.
Okay. So when the WIA hosts, when it's a tournament event, it goes from the school hosting to the WIA hosting. So whatever they come out with in terms of spectators for football, we're going to have to adhere to if we're going to call it a playoff game for football.
Got
it. So
that'll be set.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, is there anything else on winter sports?
Go for it.
That's what they decided to do. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay.
Just
doing it forward.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, I'm going to start coaching on November 16th, so I guess I would encourage the board, if there's any decisions that are going to be made, make them about winter sports before my season actually is going to start regarding what you guys have planned or what you're envisioning.
When does your sport start?
The 16th. And our first game as of right now is December 2nd or whatever. It's just going to make my life a lot easier if I know what the expectations are while I'm planning. If players are expected to do this or to do that or whatever, if WIA, according to what I read, is exactly what Mr. Orchard said, you're pretty much considered to follow these guidelines, but I would just like to know.
WIA, like everything else this year, is kicked the can.
Well, and yeah. I would actually, I mean, not a power trip at all, but man, some of these decisions, like, are we going to, require, I'm going to open up our locker room facilities, for our own players like we did for the fall. Are we going to allow the other team to use the locker room facility, if our janitorial staff can handle it? Some decisions like that, I feel a lot easier on our end if I can consult with Mr. Mance, Mr. Bauman on those types of COVID, things. Making, obviously they're in there already, but they have to be messed. you know, on the bus, they have to be masked. On the mask mandate, they got to be masked. But if the mask mandate gets lifted November 21st, he's practicing a week with the mask mandate. Now, if it gets extended, it's, you know.
But those are things that don't really have to come to the board.
And in fact, I hate to interrupt.
No,
but the board has already said that if it fits within the WIAA guidance,
okay,
that we're good.
Okay.
So that'll allow exactly what you're saying.
I can sit down with my coaches and we can come up with a plan of.
As long as it fits within the guidance. It
fits within the considerations.
Yeah.
And, okay. Are you good with that?
Yeah, I just want to know when I start.
Yep.
I want it all out on the table, and all of it's going to be presented to them, and they know, and I know what the expectations are, or I'm going to.
Yep.
Jeff,
the problem is,
the only thing,
you know, the government may extend the mask mandate, which is going to change your game anyway.
Right.
And we can't anticipate not anticipate that. That's up to him.
For peace of mind, a 10-minute conversation between Mr. Dorsher and I that says if the mask mandate is lifted, I'd like to see him wear a mask on a bus, and he says it's okay, and it's approved. Those are the types of things I just want to know so I can go in and I can prepare for what I'm going to have to do. Because honestly, it's easier for me to know. And I'd like to know before December 1st when I got to get on a bus December 2nd to go somewhere. I know it's evolving, but I don't, from my perspective, I want two different plans. This is my name, this is plan B, and I want them right now, or not right now, or as soon as I can get them before my season starts.
Jeff, when does the wrestling program start?
They start practice November 23rd.
So,
and.
We don't.
Wrestling.
And
just wondering.
Yeah, they are not allowing any multi-duels or invites under the considerations. You can only schedule a match every 6 or 7 days.
How are they going to do the state tournament?
In between? I have no idea. They call them culminating events.
What are they?
They don't call it state tournaments.
Oh.
This year. So.
That's culminating event for wrestling is going to take the entire season.
You know, the issue we're going to run into with wrestling is, you know, if we can only have duels and we only have 7 or 8 kids in weight classes and the other team has 7 or 8 kids in weight classes, but they don't match up, then there could be a real possibility that we have some wrestlers that go the whole season wrestling 2 matches, 3 matches, you know. So
where usually they get how many?
Usually they'll get in the range of 40 with your invites and stuff. So they're working through that. You know, the talk on if you're going to host a duel, you put on 2 mats, and that way you can clean one while the next match goes on.
Yeah.
And but I, at the end of the day, I can stop now. So, sorry.
Just wondered, we hadn't mentioned it at all.
Work in progress.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. COVID-19 response update.
This kind of is an open discussion, but Nurse Cindy does have some information related to our numbers up to this point in terms of quarantines, positive cases, and students and staff that she's just going to share real quick. Yep. This is just to update you on
is this what
our
we've been
numbers.
Getting from
this
you?
This is what you've been getting from me all along, but sort of all put into one.
Okay.
Isolation because they're symptomatic, awaiting results are positive. Currently, one active positive case in the high school.
six quarantine related to close contact with a COVID-positive individual or a school-aged child or household member who is symptomatic. Three in isolation, symptomatic with symptoms consistent with COVID-19, pending test results were positive. Two active positive cases in our staff. So that's the current data. So if we look back at the summary from September 1st to present, total number of positive COVID cases in the district, elementary and middle school, six, high school students, three, staff, seven, for a total of 16. Again, that's two active staff members currently and one student. When we look at quarantine numbers, September 1st to present, again, this is staff and students who are quarantined related to a close contact with a COVID-19 positive individual or school-aged child, sibling household member, symptomatic. Elementary middle school, we've had 205, high school students, 76, staff, 30, for a total of 311. So when we look at that, those numbers a little more closely, and we pull out the students and staff that are quarantined directly related to a close contact with somebody in school, elementary, 77, high school, 50, staff, 16, for a total of 143. That's 143 out of that 311 that were quarantined related to a contact at school. Students and staff that needed isolation, again, since September 1st, related to symptomatic symptoms consistent with COVID, pending test results were positive. Elementary middle school, 87, high school, 39, staff, 22, for a total of 148.
I would just add, you know, put in some perspective in terms of impact and of cases at school or contacts at school. There is only one that is a probable in terms of a positive case that's traced back to school. All the other ones are traced back outside of school. So as far as school being a place where this is being spread a great deal, our numbers don't bear that out. Contact tracing doesn't bear that. I would add, related to this update, just looking for some guidance from the board, with hourly employees, now we're talking like aides, the federal government provides 80 hours of paid leave at your regular salary if you have to quarantine due to COVID. Now the situation that could potentially come up where a person as a result of work has to quarantine because of work, meaning they came in contact with either a probable case or a waiting for someone to get a test result, or they're in contact with a person at school that was a positive, and this would be an hourly teacher employee for an example. If they use up that 80 hours, and this came as a result directly tied back to their work, what does the board want to do in terms of compensation for those individuals? Because they're aides, they can't work remotely. There's no work for them from home like there is the teaching staff or administrative staff. They're hourly, and their job duties primarily are to be with students. If they can't be with students, yes. So
I think you have to pay them.
I mean, my opinion is that it's work related to
being paid. Yeah. Okay. And I agree. I just want the board. Board's
no.
thoughts on that. Now, if it happens as a result of something outside of school, once they're beyond that 80 hours, then they're dipping into their own personal sick time and or time off without pay.
But we don't have many of those aides that work 8 hours a day, so it'd take a little bit longer for their 40 hours, or the 80 hours for them. You know what I'm saying? No what?
It's 2 weeks worth of pay.
It's no 2 weeks worth of what?
So it isn't a set amount. Okay.
If you're a half-time, you don't get 160. You get... You
know, well, yeah, I just thought they got 80 hours.
You get 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't need to be.
Everybody on the same page?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mike?
Down there, all good? All right, moving on.
Shake harder.
Item scheduled for action, resignations. Don.
Julie Pakefield has tendered her resignation as a part-time elementary paraprofessional.
I'll make a motion to accept your resignation.
Motion by Amy.
Second.
Second by Chris. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Part-time paraprofessional at the elementary school.
The part-time paraprofessional, the board is asked to approve the addition of one paraprofessional position at the elementary school, part-time paraprofessional position.
Motion by Amy.
Second.
Second by Gary. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Part-time paraprofessional at the high school.
Board's asked to approve part-time paraprofessional position at the high school. Discussed earlier, it's not an additional position, it's just sort of restructuring it to 3.5 and 3.5.
I make the motion.
Motion by Chris.
Second.
Second by Caleb. Any discussion?
And this is changing it to the parameters that you have set up in the discussion.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Appointments, part-time paraprofessional.
Joanne Palomas, Dana Walters, and Nicole Gunville are recommended for approval as part-time paraprofessionals.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Amy.
Second.
Second by Chris. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Substitute teachers.
Bob Johnson and Jacob Lucas are recommended for approval as substitute teachers.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Kayla.
Second.
Second by Mike Freibel. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Sports volunteer coaches.
Nikki Grandall, Val Bevere, and Ashley Schwartz are recommended for approval as sports volunteers and coaches.
What season?
It was actually for volleyball, but they finally got their...
Okay,
yes.
Is that... Did we have some volleyball coaches that just were volunteers?
I'll make a motion
to approve that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Volunteers,
I second it.
Second. Now.
Okay. Did we have some?
Chris,
I did.
Chris. Second by Chris.
Did we have some that were just volunteers and not coaches? I don't.
I actually put them on the list for the. I always put them on the list for the BSA forms, regardless. And since they were just checked and they didn't have extra coaches, I just listed them. Just
okay.
So
okay.
Their background check.
All right, thanks.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried.
Oh.
All right, certified 2020-2021 tax levy.
The Board of Ed certified a 2020-2021 tax levy in the amount of $6,396,488.
Motion by Amy.
Second.
Second by Kayla. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. 2020-2021 budget revision.
The Board is asked to approve the 2020-2021 budget revision as presented earlier in the meeting.
I make that motion.
Motion by Chris.
Second.
Second by Amy. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Appointment of delegate to the WASB virtual convention.
The Board is asked to appoint a delegate and alternate to the WASB convention.
I will make a motion to appoint Chris as the delegate and Amy as the alternate.
I'll second.
Motion by Mike Dima, second by Ian. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Aye.
Two abstentions. 4-0-2. Spring 2021 Start College Now Early College Credit Classes.
The Board is asked to approve the Spring 2021 Start College Now and Early College Credit Classes. An informational sheet listing those and the number of classes and students is included in your package.
Got a motion?
I'll
make
a motion.
Motion by Amy.
Mike Preble.
Second by Preble. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0. Winter sports.
Board can take any action related to winter sports.
I make a motion that we let Mr. Dorschner do his thing with WIAA, but that we put the tickets for the basketball to 4 tickets per student rather than 2.
And wrestling if they have it.
And wrestling
well, if winter sports.
We're just
winter sports.
For
sports.
For any of the winter sports, yeah.
Okay, motion Chris.
Second
by Amy.
Both teams, just clarifying.
What do you mean?
I can tell the other
school. Middle school, and, yeah.
Okay. Not just us, the visitors
no.
as well.
Yeah, and you will move the games you can over here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any discussion?
I mean, then this leads to still you having the latitude to be able to work within the WIA.
That's what I said. Yeah, I said that in the beginning. Yeah.
All right.
But spectators is firm.
Yeah.
That's firm. So.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
What's that?
Opposed.
Abstentions? 5-1-0. Mike Frommel. Future agenda items. All right, recess to executive closed session as per Wisconsin statute 19.5C. Consider employment, promotion, compensation, evaluation, public employees, governmental body has jurisdiction or responsibility. Future compensation benefits, do we have a motion?
I make a motion.
Motion by Amy, who has a second?
Mike Frommel.
Second by Mike Frommel. Chris, do you have the roll call?
Yep. Dema?
Yes.
Grandaw?
Yes.
Heidewald, yes. Huck?
Yes.
Freivalt?
Yes.
Ide?
Yes.
All right, we are in closed session at 6:46. No, one, three, two, one, two, three. Motion by Amy, second by Mike Freivalt. Any action we take, or a bullet, any discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, carried 6-0. We are in open session at 7:30. All right. Recommendations, any motions to make?
I'd like to make a motion that we remove the $35,000 out of it with the base scale and go ahead with a $200 addition prorated this year and then every year after to the other level.
Was it prorated?
So the salary scale across the board.
$200 at each level.
All right, motion by Mike Freivalt.
Second.
Second by Chris Heidewald. Any discussion?
Mike, I did. It isn't prorated, is it?
No.
No.
It's retroactive.
Retroactive. I know, but just do the motion so it's right.
Year. Including this year. So it's $200 goes on each
okay.
Salary schedule. Retroactive. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried 6-0.
5-0. Oh, I'm sorry, 6-0.
Six.
My bad. I wrote down 5. I'm sorry.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Kayla, second by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried. We are adjourned.